Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Speaking of collaboration, we've got a second Kiwi collaborator for you today. It's a double whammy feature of sock puppetry. His name is Ray Foxley, and he comes to us live via Skype in the middle of the bush running off of solar panels. He is a outdoorsman who is, well, basically, he's been running into a lot of interesting facts about the use of 1080 in New Zealand. For those of you who are unaware what compound 1080 does, it's essentially one of the most virulent poisons in the world and is banned from being dropped everywhere in the world with the exception of one place, New Zealand. Ray, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good day. It's nice to be here. Carry on.
Well, I was just wondering if you could sort of introduce yourself and sort of how you got into this activism, because we had a good chat the other night about how you've basically only been researching this into this 1080 topic for the last 6 months. When I question you about it, you possess a ridiculously large amount of knowledge for such a short period of time. What piqued your interest?
Yeah, well, this is quite interesting. I've been in New Zealand for about 8 years now, and I told my family, my partner, New Zealand is the best country in the world to go to. It's the safest. There's no terrorism. There's no poisonous animals. For about what, Joel? Just till about last year, I was doing some adventure tourism at NMIT in Nelson. And one of my assignments was to give a talk about the benefits of 1080. So I really had to research into it. And living in the bush, I didn't really know too much, except for, sometimes I saw these signs everywhere, with skull and crossbones saying, poison, beware, and never really thought much in about it. But as I was researching into it a bit more, I started to find out, Doc was telling us, which is the Department of Conservation, that this poison, it kills 95% of the possums and rats, and apparently doesn't affect any other animals. And I thought, no, this seems really quite hard to believe. So I was looking into more and more information, and I was trying to find some records from the Department of Conservation for the amount of bykill, which is that's the birds that have killed by the use of this poison. And I've discovered that they've been using 1080 since 1954 here in New Zealand, and right up to 1994 there has been no records kept by the Department of Conservation or the Animal Health Board up until 1994, and that's absolutely shocking. Are you still with me? Hello?
Yeah, man, we're still here. Keep going.
I just think I'm giving you, speaking too fast or too slow.
You go for it, Matt.
Oh, well, in actual fact, we're coming up to break now, but, my personal thoughts on 1080 is that essentially it's a government agenda to reduce the food chain and to poison the environment just along the kind of general eugenics line of the New World Order. Scumbag filth mongers are just lying to the public, spending the public's money with no thought about the people of tomorrow. Our very special guest coming us live from New Zealand is Ray Foxley, ladies and gentlemen, a 1080 researcher, and we will be right back after the break on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
I'm the dude you really know. Can flow. Like this. Like this. Like this. Let's do it.
How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any. Not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this?
I don't know anybody. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen, so every single day you can get your daily dose of comedic conspiracy. Speaking of which, our very special guest, Ray Foxley, joins us from New Zealand. Ray, welcome back to the program.
Yes, thank you, Will. It's good to be here.
One thing that we were talking about over the break that we'd love for you to define for the audience is what 1080 actually is. Its effects, compounds, you know, that kind of jazz. Because, to be honest, my understanding of it is rather rudimentary, and I'd love it if you could elaborate.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. It's made up of fluoracetate, which is a fluoride, and this fluoride is a chemical that's found in a number of plants, and it's supposed to be the 13th most commonest element on Earth, but manufactured to high levels, it is considered to be one of the 10th most deadliest chemicals in the world, sodium fluoracetate. And it sounds very much like a toothpaste or something like that. And it is very effective killing mechanism for animals. And it's has actually developed as a chemical for mass warfare. Originally started with the Germans during World War II. The Americas has developed it even further. And again, the threats in America was...
Sorry, the threat in America was... Oh, wow, we seem to have lost Ray there. We'll see if we can bring him back up. But the one interesting thing that I found about 1080 in our country is that if you are a advocate of 1080, working for DOC and on the payroll, that kind of thing, not only do you defend it till death do us part, more or less, but you also, even when you're unpaid, go looking for people who criticize 1080 and, you know, try and start arguments with them, try and disprove them with all these bogus graphs and whatnot. And of more recent times, there's been these two dudes called the Graph Boys in New Zealand who have made a couple of documentaries, one called A Shadow of Doubt and the other Poisoning Paradise. And these are well-made documentaries, in my opinion, about the effects of 1080. Things like, for example, when you drop it into an area, the stated intention is to only drop it in places that are inaccessible to regular trappings, because the idea is to get rid of possums and rats, you know, to protect native bird species. Now, what's happened in reality is that they are dropping it frickin' everywhere, right? Like, there'll be a ridge right next to farmland, and the helicopters will be dropping on the other side of the ridge right into water catchment areas. And then they'll go up the ridge to just see the effects of the 1080 a day or two after the drops have been done via helicopter, so obviously it's very target specific. And they'll find all sorts of things. They'll find dead sheep, dead deer, dead endangered species of native New Zealand birds. Now, if I was to kill a native New Zealand bird, I would get a $50,000 New Zealand fine per bird.
If Doc, we have absolutely kills, protected species. Yep.
If Doc kills thousands and thousands of these birds of varying species and degrees and varying levels of proximity to extinction, guess how much fines they pay? Zippo! Because they're frickin' immune!
Once again, it's hypocrisy. 1080 is dropped out of aircraft, just willy-nilly. They did an island probably 10 k's away from me across a strip of water about a year ago. And during the drop, they covered the boundaries of the island so haphazardly that tons of it rained down into the oceans. Some fishermen out there had it landing on them in their boats. You know, lovely. Like, this stuff's highly toxic to mammals and insects too.
And
the
old
dose
marine
required
life
to kill a human. Yeah, yeah. A lethal amount for a human is 2 to 10 milligrams per kg. So 2 to 10 parts per thousand, sort of thing. Parts per million. It's ridiculous. I mean, it kills insects too. In New Zealand, we have because we don't have any native mammals. We have some introduced rats, and possums and whatnot. But we don't have any native mammals as such. We mainly had insects and reptiles, and the reptiles would feed on these insects, and the birds feed on the reptiles, and so on. Now the whole forest ecosystem has been broken down due to the attack on the insects and the associated fauna who feed on them, and so it's a ecological problem, because then the whole forest structure as a whole breaks down, and they have more excuse to clear the land, and then at the same time they're saying, oh, climate change, and we need trees to absorb CO2, and so it's DOC, the Department of Conservation, Greenpeace, all these organizations are at complete odds with themselves. That's before we start getting into the government's policy. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely, and I know, I have a friend who actually works for DOC. Good guy. I brought up the issue with him once, and he said, hey, it kills more bad things than it does good things, you know. That's a surface analysis, though, because there's also secondary deaths where our native owls will feed on a rat who's eaten it, and you know, the rat's in its dying stages, they're foaming at the mouth, sort of limbering around, and then the native owl will die.
Mm. Well, and the interesting thing is, because it's a food chain penetrator, that's what makes it so dangerous, because of the fact that any animal could eat it, and then any animal that eats that would die. For example, there was a 1080 drop in Tawhiranui, and the dotterels, which are a protected species of bird, you know, small nesting birds and things like that, and we've all been told by dock rangers to stay away from the dotterel nesting grounds because they're protected and all that kind of jazz, but they drop all this frickin' poison all over the area, and the dotterels don't eat the poison, but the sandhoppers did, and the dotterels ate them and all died. Frickin' ruthless, man. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
I got no concern for the environment. And this is the difficulty when people say, oh, well, you know, if you don't believe in climate change, you've got no care for the environment. I would say it's more the other way around. If you do believe in climate change, you don't care about the environment because you ignore every single environmental issue. All right, Ray back on the line here. Ray, sorry to have you cut off there. Would you please continue on with explaining to us just the effects of 1080?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Yeah, we've discovered that America that supplied the 90% of sodium fluoracetate to New Zealand is actually banned from being stored in America itself. But apparently here in New Zealand, we've got stockpiled 10,000 kgs, which I don't know, that most probably could kill the population of New Zealand over, about 50 times over. But it's absolutely shocking to know that this product, fluoracetate, sodium fluoracetate, is marketed to us, the New Zealand people, as safe and biodegradable 1080. And this, currently, what happens is helicopters, they fly over large tracts of land, forest, bushland, farmland, and they drop pellets from these helicopters, copter hoppers, and they space every 10 meters of apart. Each one of these baits contains enough poison to kill over 100,000 ants, and scientists have monitored over 130 different invertebrates feed off of these baits, and they themselves become toxic to whatever animals or creatures eat them. And whatever animals die as a result of eating this sodium fluoracetate, it remains in their bodies unmetabolized, and they baits in themselves for anything that eats them. So if a pig comes along and scavenges, if a bird, a moorpork, an owl, a weka, a kiwi picks at these dead possums, they in turn will die or receive sublethal amounts of poisoning, which is also on the safety data sheet classified as a male reproductive toxin. So this is actually quite scary. The baits that end up getting washed out from the steep hills down into the streams, into the rivers, into the sea, they now become nutrients for the algae and the plankton that uptake all these chemicals. They in turn feed the larvae and the larvae and the fish. And I don't know if you get the reports from around the world about New Zealand, but we most probably have the most whale strandings in the whole world here along our coastal regions. The fish in the oceans are just dying off so quickly, and I believe the main concern is down to this poison, sodium fluoracetate. It has got such an effect because it's odourless and tasteless. Its effectiveness in water is incredible. Doc, tell us that microorganisms break down this toxin into a harmless substance, but when one fluoracetate bait was put into a distilled water, it remained potent for 10 years afterwards, just in that water, being distilled in that water. It would be, if you wanted to mass kill off people, sodium fluoracetate would undoubtedly be the number one chemical to be used in the world, which is scary, really, because we've come to New Zealand thinking it's a safe, green, it's marketed as 100% pure country.
Well, at least the 1080 pellets are coloured green.
with green dye.
And that's the interesting thing about sodium fluoracetate as well. It's a fluoride compound, right? Just like they use as a binding agent in Prozac, you know, just to make people feel a lot more depressed and possibly have the side effect of committing suicide. And also on top of that, they fluoridate our water because it's good for our teeth. And I was wondering at what point was rat poison and Prozac good for our teeth, you know?
That's the thing, mate. That's the thing. That's the funny thing about this, because I see it as the same argument as water fluoridation almost. It's just used in different application in a different form. Sodium fluoroacetate is a sodium fluoride salt. They make the salt using potassium fluoride, which is banned in most countries. But then sodium fluoride is added to British and American and Canadian and, you know, on and on in New Zealand water supplies. Approximately, you know, 40 to 50% of the occupants of the respective nations, I mean, are fluoridated. And so it's the same issue as I see it. If we're trying to curb one environmental problem by creating dozens of others, we're trying to say in New Zealand, oh, we need to get rid of rats and possums, and we're introducing this other factor. It's just like introducing cane toads into Australia, or introducing, you know, just the number of species that have been introduced, mainly by the Brits over the years in their colonial expeditions, to cure a problem of a particular abundance of a certain species, always is going to result in further ecosystem problems.
Yeah, well, I think you're right there. Fluoracetate is a fluoride that works exactly the same way as fluoride in the water. And it's in small amounts, it could be considered safe. But don't forget, when you're using fluoride on your teeth topically in an area, that might be fine. But when you're digesting small amounts and they bioaccumulate, which they found with fluoride, you know, they were monitoring crabs with fluoride over a 90-day period, and the flesh of the crab increased to 90 parts per million with fluoride that was found in the water. So just the same way as fluoracetate, which is a fluoride, exactly the same way, if we get exposed over a period of time, vast amounts of this fluoride, this is actually going to affect our system. It actually accumulates in our testes, of all things, believe it or not. And that's maybe why the USA, the EPA, have classified it as a male reproductive toxin.
Exactly, and then over the same period of time here in New Zealand, we've seen a 50% reduction in sperm counts from the early 70s to present.
Yeah, well, you're right. There is a 50% reduction in sperm count, and there is a company, Menavit, they're advertising that on national TV here at the moment, you know, to take these tablets to improve your chances. And I know from research, 1 in 100 children are born in New Zealand with the result of fertility treatment. But tests in Japan now, what they're doing, the scientists are doing now, before they used to look at whale and meat as being very healthy for them, and Japanese people had the record for having the longest longevity of life through their consumption of fish. But there are actually warnings now in Japan for them not to eat the whale and dolphin meat because of higher levels of PCBs, which is the pesticides used, and they're actually tracing the chemicals through their hair samples. So if you can imagine that New Zealand uses twice as much pesticide than the whole of USA, that researchers say that one-third of all the pesticide use ends up in our coastal waters into the sea. We are feeding our fish toxins, and don't forget, just not one type of toxin, several different toxins in combination make a toxic soup, which this plankton uptakes and then feeds up in the food chain. We are wiping out not only plankton, which are oxygen-producing organisms, they are responsible for creating 80% of the world's oxygen that we breathe. They take CO2 from the atmosphere and convert that by the use of photosynthesis to provide food. And, you know, again, scientists have been discovering and monitoring that we've had a decline of plankton, 40% decline throughout the whole world. And these harmful algae blooms, you've mostly heard them as red tides, have increased by 30% over the last 30 years or so. And these have been viewed from satellites. And these harmful algae blooms, which is the algae, the plankton, they normally occur after storms or where there's heavy rains, floods. All the nutrients, all the sediment, all the toxins all get washed up, and these will provide these algae to just spread.
Mm-mm-mm. It's a dangerous, dangerous business when you're trying to help the environment based on lies. As docs should know, but don't, because they refuse to acknowledge any facts on the issues. And, of course, they ignore all the activists who pull them up on it. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest from New Zealand is Ray Foxley. We'll be right back on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What is about is something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Joke's rather sad. That's what it is. Genocide, ladies and gentlemen, is just a little bit of history repeating, and in fact, one of the first recorded instances of the use of 1080 was as a poison in the water supplies to Chinese communities that the Japanese troops were ordered to put into in Manchuria, where they invaded and exterminated entire communities in a brutal regime of dominance. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, broadcasting live from the future, and ironically enough, the future looks bright on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Our very special guest from New Zealand, Ray Foxley, continues to join us discussing this virulent poison and what it really is, because you won't get any facts out of the government. Ray, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be back. Yeah, well, carry on. Yeah, what's your...
Well, Ray, we're all about accumulating facts against this government, and you've told us some great ones today, and so we need to further these and put them together in a concise way for people, because, you know, it's election here in New Zealand, and these trash who don't care about anything or anyone are just perpetuating their lies and still gathering votes somehow. It says a lot for the psychology of this country. But we're out to demonise them because they need to be demonised, not because we just want to pick a fight, but and this can't just... I'd like to think that if I go fishing down the road from me, got two beaches less than a kilometre in either direction from me, I'd like to think that I can eat something that's healthy, that's of substance, that's better than me going to the supermarket. And hey, it probably is, but you know, after hearing what you've got to say here, makes you second guess everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, this is what's happening. And I think here in New Zealand, people are starting to wake up from their slumber and realise that not everything we're told is actually as it seems. Like, I don't know if you know that even our muesli, you think it's healthy, a food product for us. There's been an alert out with New Zealand Food and Safety Authority. They found traces of... pesticides, even in our mueslis, which is very, very worrying. With regards to our fish, I would hate to think what the residues of testing for the pesticides that we use are in the fish and the seafood. And it actually scares me to actually have fish now because I don't believe the government have actually released true figures and true statements about what's actually really causing the deaths of these fish, especially the dolphins and the whales. They keep saying that starvation, bad weather, any excuses except for they could have been poisoned. And what I'm concerned of here in New Zealand, the only laboratories are actually government-owned labs where the testing gets sent. There's no independent testing in this country. So for us to get the general public to get a true results of testing for fish, we'd have to go overseas for that.
It's free market, isn't it? No independent testing. That's true, free market. I don't know why everyone's complaining about it. It's obviously a very capitalist system.
Well, that's the thing that really ticks me off, man, is like there's just the lack of testing that gets done. For example, 1080 is not even tested for under New Zealand drinking water standards when it's known to be a very virulent poison that makes its way into the water table and is dropped directly into waterways, which make them way into town reservoirs. And they still don't test it for it.
Yeah, well, I think there is testing there, Will. They say that there's been over 2,500 tests, but when they do this testing, they always seem to do it 24 to 36 hours after they've done the drop. So I don't know if you know that when you've got flowing water, if you drop something in there, it's not going to remain in that spot. It's going to flow downstream. So they're not really interested in detecting 1080 in the water. They just don't want to find traces of it high enough to their levels, their set levels. So that's why they wait to 24 to 36 hours. But if they've done their testing within the first 1 to 8 hours, where it's known that the most leaching is going to occur from these baits, they will get results on their from their test.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've also seen videos put on YouTube by Doc, also showing an area of pristine bush after they've completed a 1080 drop, an aerial drop, and it shows native birds all singing and frolicking around in the trees as if nothing had happened, and that's another glimpse of their propaganda they use. See, it doesn't do anything, but all the microbiological effects that you can't observe at the end of a camera lens. Just go unreported.
Yeah, well, I think this is what's happened. I think they know that to humans, we are microorganisms that can break this stuff down. So they will accept that we are getting small amounts of fluoracetate or the fluoride that's the result of the 1080 into our systems. Someone was just telling me yesterday that they went to a doc meeting and they had a green pellet that looked like a 1080 pellet and drank it with the pellet in there and said, look, these small amounts are safe to drink. They've actually convinced, when I'll just say, I think the general public on whole, they've convinced that a chemical of mass destruction is a safe, and they call it biodegradable 1080. And I believe they've got Saatchi and Saatchi to be the advertising people as well to help with their marketing campaigns to try and get 1080 to be acceptable to the general public. And one of the posters that they've recently used was a picture of a possum and a rat in a tree with a vine with a thrush nest, and the vine was nailed to the tree, and they were saying, look, this is what's happening in their forests each night, and it was just a scaremongering campaign to people for the need of 1080. And it's just almost like here in New Zealand the public have just become so conditioned to accepting hundreds of tons of this toxic super class 1A toxin classified by the World Health Organization into our forests, our playground areas, our back doors, close to our boundaries, in our drinking water. It's absolutely shocking. I'm disgusted that the government can get away with it. And talking about politicians, I've been trying to look at which politicians are actually doing something about this in this country, and you know, it's even more shocking to see how much is shoved under the carpet by our politicians today. There is only one politician in the whole of New Zealand, which I know, which is Peter Dunn from the United Future Party, that is making a call for an outright ban for the use of 1080 and to provide safe alternatives.
That shows this left-right dichotomy, doesn't it? Because Peter Dunn is on the so-called right, sort of Christian conservative, and you know, so no one in the Green Party cares about this.
No, there's the Green Party and the National Party. They have developed some of these stoat traps that are resettable stoat traps that are fueled by a CO2 cartridge, a company called God Nature. They can kill possums up to 12 times without having to be reset, you know, by sending someone out there to reset the traps. And also the New Zealand's top toxicologist Charles Eason has devised some traps with a company called Conovation Limited, which is a stoat trap which the stoats can run through this tube type thing. It sprays a toxin on the belly and it just kills the stoat, and it doesn't affect any birds or other bykill, and it's a much safer alternative to the 1080. Another trust called PuketiTrust.org up in the Northland, this is a good example. They cover 5,500 hectares and they just solely have been using trapping and safer alternatives to poison, and they have got over 11,000 pests, and so far they've only killed one bird, which was a kingfisher that got actually accidentally trapped in a cat trap. There are examples out there that alternatives do work, and actually what's quite ironic is DOC are actually bringing birds, endangered birds, to the Piketty Trust now to look after them, because in their areas they can't control the pests by using these poisons. DOC gave letter of the week to one guy in Southland, Otago. Letter of week, he claimed he's dropped over 400,000 tons of poison just on Southland, Otago, and I think that's believed mainly to kill the rabbits. But just in last week's Southland Times, it said rabbit numbers are higher than ever. Yeah, it's funny, but you look at rats in Nelson alone. They had a rat plague in Nelson, and the scientists have admitted that they believe it's linked to the 1080 drops. And even a researcher from Landcare Research said, we've been warning DOC for years and they haven't taken heed to what we're saying. So you know, the general public are told that 1080 is cost effective and efficient for removing pests. But what I actually see is that 1080 is the most expensive toxin New Zealand has ever used for controlling pests. Not only has it not stemmed the tide of pests, it's actually increased a bigger flux of them coming back. I believe as well the bird bykill is far greater than doctors admitted or even acknowledge, and it is increasingly speeding up the decline of their biodiversity. Already New Zealand has got the second worst rating in the whole world for biodiversity decline and wildlife decimation because...
And the environmental groups only care about climate change, don't they?
Yeah, this is a real term.
It's a real problem, like a real problem here where I live with the environmentalists. And you know, I enjoy the bush as much as anyone else, but because I don't agree with them with their climate change theory, you know, I'm kind of pushed out. But on the subject of controlling pests, I mean, people are just totally pragmatic to think, oh, it's the only thing we can do. We can't shoot them all. We can't trap them all. Well, sure we can. But the government doesn't want proliferation of guns. And the government doesn't want traps around. I tell you what, anything that comes in the bush around my place, blackbirds even humble blackbirds, I shoot them. Shoot them dead. I shoot rabbits, they're not meant to be there.
You can kill pests very, very easily via shooting. In fact, there was one person who's now an activist with the cannabis movement who was raided, and he was a pest shooter, professional pest shooter, and he was killing on average 1,000 pests a day.
Well,
one
can I just,
man. So, you know, their argument that, oh, there's no other way to do it is just lies after lies after lies, and it's lies built on lies and more lies built on those. So go ahead with what you're going to say, Ray.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You mentioned a couple of points there about killing birds. So, you know, in New Zealand, we've got high fines for killing birds and native wildlife. There's like $100,000 fines and, you know, 12 months imprisonment for killing a wood pigeon. And, you know, you may have heard about the five Norwegians that were, you know, Doc was chasing them down to prosecute them for loading on YouTube, killing these native birds. But when Doc do it, they can get away with it. You know, they've killed, what should I say, God knows how many birds. And the frightening thing is this, is if the general public are fined for killing these birds, like... Even weka, there's a $30,000 fine for killing a weka. Docks sometimes kill 95% of them on some of their island drops that I've read. You know, if you totaled up all the amount of native birds that they've killed, like $100,000 there, $100,000 there, $100,000 there, it would be shocking. But, you know...
Well, the government's above its own scrutiny, isn't it?
Well, that's right. I mean, I think Clyde Graff from Poisoning Paradise...
We'll get into Clyde after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, a very special guest coming at us live is Ray Foxley. We're talking 1080 and government immunity from its own poisonous propaganda. And we'll be right back on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, proudly supported by GorillaMedia.co.nz. Do you know who's sad? Are you? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and for the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Our very special guest joining us live from New Zealand is Ray Foxley, and he is a 1080 researcher and activist. And one of the kind of things that I wanted to get into here was the opposition that Doc has actually put up to your arguments. Now, in my experience, comments. Basically, they just ignore or respond with lies to any particularly decent research or requests that have come up. Now, before the break came on, you were about to talk about Clyde Graff sending an information act, an official information act request to the government. What was the question that he asked, and what was the reply?
Clyde was interesting to find out how many kiwi birds have died from the use of 1080 in New Zealand, because to try and get an answer out of DOC is very, very hard. You know, they don't seem to have this information, or it's withheld from the general public. So the question was, how many kiwi birds were tested in the past 15 years for residues of the poisons 1080? And the answer came back as just 5 birds have been tested. Now, what that shows me is that out of all the birds that are handed in dead after a 1080 drop, how many of those are actually tested to see that it's been 1080 that's killed them and not by predation? And this is where I feel that the figures that have been given to the public, like very few birds are killed, is very misleading. And I would like this to be exposed a bit more, and for proper independent accounts of bird kill to be established after any drops whatsoever, rather than it just being all controlled internally by DOC, and whether or not an evaluation on a bird, how it died, it's all dependent upon DOC, whether it goes to testing or not. Yeah, it's all very much in-house control, which I think it's allowing DOC to put 1080 into a very, what shall I say, one-sided story to the general public.
Like a circle of protection.
Yeah, it's basically to make 1080 look like it's in a good light. I mean, last year, TV1 discovered that DOC, Department of Conservation, paid $1.28 million towards spin doctors. These are like public relations officers that speak for DOC on the benefits of 1080. Now, one particular guy has just admitted that one of the photographs that have been used to market the need for 1080 was a picture of a possum and a rat on a tree with a nest, and the possum and the rat are feasting on this bird, and it was found out to be a shot was 40 different flashes, and the animals used were trained animals and conditioned for this photo shoot, and it was all a setup. And this to me shows just what a propaganda campaign there is out there to win the hearts and minds of the New Zealand people to accept aerial 1080, this a chemical of mass destruction, as safe and a biodegradable product. It's just a joke.
Oh yeah, it's like the US getting Agent Orange, manufactured in New Zealand of course, spraying it over Vietnamese villages and jungle, and then going in and giving them chocolate bars when they're all dying of poisoning. Win the hearts and minds, baby. Aren't we just a loving bunch of invaders, you know? Just total scum. I can't even believe it sometimes. But, you know, the difficulty that I have with government and with PR firms and all of these assorted scum trash is that they are getting paid to do this, right? And they ignore all the people that are opposing them for free, you know? And they never question, why would these people be devoting so much of their time to this? Because that would be the first question I would ask if somebody was really, really on to me about something and they weren't employed by anybody or anything like that. I'd wonder, hey, what the heck is their angle? I'm going to ask them a few questions about this and suss this person out. But not Doc. Oh, no. As soon as somebody comes in and criticizes you and says that, hey, you guys are a bunch of scum and you're poisoning our environment, you're not doing anything and you're lying to us all the time, time, the dock worker goes, oh, well, here's some propaganda, that'll shut you up.
Well, you mentioned the fines for killing birds here in New Zealand, and people might think this is a weird tangent to talk about, but in New Zealand has some of the most amazing species diversity on the planet, and just really unique stuff, like live birth reptiles, not seen anywhere else in the world, for instance. But people are allowed to have cats that go and kill 20, 30 reptiles in a day, that just can kill birds left, right and center. You know, millions of dollars worth of fines if you want to break it down. The government says that's fine. I mean, it's all second degree. As long as you can hide something behind from a first degree kill off of someone or something, if you can just hide it behind another layer, then people are stupid enough to accept it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
what's behind door number two?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there a little bit. I mean, the real opossum as being the number one threat in New Zealand is just like a war on terror, basically, to try and convince the people, oh, we need to use 1080. But the real threats are most probably the stoats and the cats, like you say, the wild cats. They'd most probably do far more damage than a possum would. But this is all hype, just to hype up the need for 1080. And, yeah, when the truth really comes out, people will be shocked.
Yep. And heads, hopefully, will roll over. Thank you very much, Ray, for coming on the show with us today. And certainly love to have you on again sometime, mate.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. There's so much more I'd like to say, but, you know, you'd have to challenge me a bit more. There's that we only covered a small little area. There's so much more to talk about.
There's never enough time. And that's the interesting thing about this show, is that you always get a little less than you want, so you have to come back for more. Conveniently, we're on 5 days a week, and we'll see you again, ladies and gentlemen, next time.